The year is 1932, and 19-year-old Colin's life ends and begins in a single night aboard an Atlantic ocean liner. A haunting melody drifts across the waves, bypassing ears to speak directly to the soul. One by one, passengers emerge in a trance-like state. Through eyes clouded with unnatural calm, Colin watches her family climb over the ship's railing and plunge into the churning waters below. When she follows them into the frigid ocean, she encounters an ancient consciousness, the ocean herself, who offers a desperate bargain: join her family in death or serve as a siren for 100 years. Anything, Colin gasps, choosing life with desperate instinct. Three inhumanly beautiful women emerge from the depths to welcome her to the Sisterhood of Sirens. The transformation is immediate and painful as something ancient floods through her veins. Her mortal imperfections fade, replaced by otherworldly beauty. Most significantly, her voice becomes both gift and curse, capable of producing song so beautiful it compels humans to their deaths. No one warned her about the crushing weight of guilt she would carry for each life taken, every face permanently etched in her memory. 80 years into her sentence, Colin lives with her sister Sirens in a beachfront home. While they interact with human society without speaking, Colin remains isolated, haunted by nightmares of her victims. She meticulously catalogs those who die in their shipwrecks, keeping scrapbooks of newspaper clippings and memorial photos. "At least you had a family," she whispers to a victim's photograph. "At least someone cried for you." The Sirens follow strict rules: never speak to humans, never interfere in human affairs, and always obey the ocean. Cautionary tales of rule breakers, some driven mad, others instantly drowned, keep Colin vigilant about maintaining distance. Unlike her sisters, who envision art galleries and music careers after their service, Colin struggles to imagine a future. The ocean loves her most dearly, offering comfort during her nightmares. Yet this special relationship is a double-edged sword. Colin feels the ocean's hunger growing, knowing another feeding will soon be required. Everything changes when Colin meets Aconley, a kind-hearted college student who approaches her in the library. Unlike others mesmerized by her beauty, he treats her normally. When he discovers she doesn't speak, he continues their conversation through written notes, showing genuine interest in knowing her rather than just admiring her appearance. Their connection deepens when Aconley mentions knowing how to jitterbug, a dance from Colin's human era. Soon, they're dancing together on campus, drawing amused glances. For the first time in decades, Colin feels truly seen for who she is beneath the surface. "You've got an artist vibe," he tells her. "You look like you've made and broken a lot of things, and then made them all over again." The observation resonates deeply. Colin has broken many things, ships, lives, but never considered she might be capable of fixing them too. For a moment, she experiences normalcy, but reality crashes in as she realizes this relationship cannot last. How could she explain why she never ages or build a life with someone she can't speak to without killing? Terrified by her growing feelings, Colin retreats to an isolated beach house with her sisters. The ocean explains that Colin's struggles come from remaining human at her core, making the taking of lives difficult. Unlike Elizabeth, who seeks fleeting human passion, Colin craves deeper connections, dangerous for a siren. As Colin sinks deeper into depression, their oldest sister Isling reveals a stunning secret. She's maintained a connection with her human daughter, who survived when Isling's ship sank. By keeping Tova carefully guarded in her thoughts, she watched her daughter grow up and have children, proving the ocean's rules aren't absolute. This revelation transforms Colin's perspective. If Isling could maintain human connections while serving flawlessly, perhaps she could see Aconley again. But when a routine singing session lures an entire cruise ship to the depths, Colin breaks. The weight of hundreds of souls becomes unbearable, and she flees northward along the coast, eventually finding herself in Aconley's hometown. In Port Clyde, Maine, fate reunites Colin and Akinlee when he finds her crying on the rocky shore 6 months after their first meeting. He offers shelter at his cousin's coastal home, beginning a perfect day that feels borrowed from another life. They explore winding streets and dusty bookstores, where Akinlee reveals his favorite hidden corners. Over ice cream, when he asks what home means to her, Colin struggles to answer. He shares his definition: his father's booming laugh, his mother's lavender-scented sweaters, the creaky third porch step. These intimate details paint a picture of belonging that makes Colin's heart ache. Akinlee promises they'll create their own version of home someday, his conviction almost making it seem possible. Their idyllic day ends in tragedy at sunset. When Akinlee leans in to kiss her, Colin forgets herself and speaks. His eyes glaze over as he walks straight into the waiting ocean. Though the ocean spares his life, Colin's sentence is extended by 50 years, a harsh reminder that duty supersedes any chance at happiness. 7 months later, Colin and Akinlee develop mysterious matching symptoms. Colin loses her ability to breathe underwater, while in Maine, Akinlee's health deteriorates without medical explanation. Both suffer identical weaknesses, fevers, and soul-deep pain. Colin's sisters discover through research that the couple has formed an unprecedented spiritual bond. Akinlee has essentially become her siren, a supernatural mirror of her nature. Their souls have intertwined so deeply that their fates are now permanently linked. The ocean finally admits her fear of abandonment, confessing that she kept Colin out of terror of being forgotten. The resolution comes when the sister sirens make an extraordinary pledge to extend their own service and transform how future sirens relate to the ocean. Moved by their dedication and confronted with the undeniable evidence of Colin and Akinlee's unique connection, the ocean relents and agrees to restore Colin's humanity. When Colin reaches Akinlee's bedside, she discovers her transformation cost her every memory of their past. Though his face is unfamiliar, his voice resonates within her. On her wrists are her sister's final gifts: "You are Colin" on one, and "He is Akinlee" on the other, her compass in a sea of forgotten memories. As they both heal, doctors remain puzzled by Akinlee's mysterious recovery. He becomes Colin's living history book, sharing their story, their library meeting, their dance beneath the oak tree, their first kiss, both wonderful and catastrophic. Among her possessions, Colin finds a bottle of perpetually cold blue water with drifting shells. Though its significance eludes her, she's instinctively drawn to it, occasionally hearing echoes of songs she once knew. Each day brings new discoveries as they rebuild their life, proving that while memories fade, love leaves an indelible mark. Colin finally achieves the belonging she sought for a century through connections that make us most deeply human.